and for us through the blood and toil of our fathers, and I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagble Ago.
In the headlines, Vice President challenges leaders in public service to avoid partisanship and deliver selfless leadership. Chamber of Telecom Operators admits occasional poor service delivery, which it says are not deliberate. New policy on books and research allowance meant to inject efficiency and accountability in the disbursement of fund. Two ministers, public organizations and individuals to appear before Commission on Judgment Debts today. Escalating violence in Egypt claims 50 lives with scores injured. And U.S. commends Syria for acceding to deal on chemical weapon destruction, which has begun. But first, the summary with Najagble Ago.
Vice President Kwesi Mesanfa has challenged people in authority to avoid partisanship, speaking at the induction of Right Reverend Thomas Branfossen as the Temadiocesan Bishop of the Methodist Church Ghana. Vice President Mesanfa said this will enable them to discharge their duties diligently without fear or fever. The Attorney General's Department, Ministry of Finance, J.K. Imbia of Tedium Enterprise Tema and State Enterprise Commission will today appear before the Judgment Debt Commission to assist it in its work. In a statement issued in Accra, the Commission called on members of the public who wish to testify or volunteer information to report at the Commission's office to give their statements. The Minister of Education, Professor Jenana Opokuagyeman, said a review of the current policy on book and research allowances is to introduce efficiency in the disbursement and utilization of the research fund. Professor Opokuagyeman made the observation in a message to the 46th congregation of the University of Cape Coast. And about 50 people have been killed and scores injured in Egypt as the police clashed with pro-Morsi supporters. Mr. Morsi's supporters marched in several cities as the military-backed government marked the 40th anniversary of the 1973 Arab-Israeli War.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now in detail. Vice President Kwesi Mesanfa has extolled the virtue of humility and service without complaint in all spheres of human endeavor. He said both God and man recognize and reward selfless service in due time. The Vice President was speaking at the induction of Right Reverend Thomas Branfossen as the Temadiocesan Bishop of the Methodist Church, Ghana. Vice President Mesanfa expressed the need for leaders to detach themselves from partisanship to enable them to effectively discharge their responsibilities. The presiding bishop of the Methodist Church, Ghana, Right Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, observed that leadership is a divine calling. Therefore, those in authority should go about their responsibilities according to the one who called them and rely on the strength of God and tackle their assignments without fear or favor. Right Reverend Fawson succeeds Right Reverend Fuen Freddy Ametepe, who is on retirement. He expressed gratitude to God for the grace upon his life.
Former president and founder of the NDC, Flight Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings, has called on the leadership of the party to immediately embark on significant reforms and expansion of the party's electoral college to clean up its image before the 2016 election. He said the NDC needs the reforms to face the challenges of the dynamic global political climate. Addressing the chiefs and people of Jorje in the Volta region during this year's Desire or Palm Festival, former President Rawlings said the next presidential candidate of the NDC must be elected by a more representative electoral college similar to that being implemented by the NPP. Spokesperson for the former president, Kofi Adams, has been explaining to Radio Ghana the import of the former president's comments. He spoke to Bukle Nogo.
He's only adding his voice to the calls for reforms and the initiative that has already begun. As he indicated in his speech, His Excellency the President John Dramani Mahama, who is the leader of the NDC, himself has given a blessing to the arrangement to especially expand the base of the party elections. That is, those who converge to elect party executives from the polling station all the way up to the national level need to be expanded to submit to the current global dynamics. The party has already constituted a constitutional review committee, which is supposed to go around the regions to take views from the rank and file of the party before these will be submitted to a national delegate conference for approval. So His Excellency, the former president and founder of the party, was only adding his voice and said that this is what must happen and that anybody who is entertaining fear from these reforms must not do so, because the reforms will serve the party better. It will strengthen the party. It will give the power back to the people as we have always known to be.
Kofi, how is the former president able to justify the assertion that the NDC can only win the 2016 election if it expands the electoral college?
If those reforms were not good, the party would not have generated them and submitted them to the Constitutional Review Committee to take to the rank and file of the party for approval as a constitutional process.
Is it the case that if these reforms are not introduced, in that if the electoral college is not expanded and then the status quo is maintained, does it mean that the NDC will find it difficult to win the 2016 election?
Everything you do that will make your organization easier, you will have to do it. And he's only asking that this will help the party move further.
But is there any feeling that some people are against these reforms at the leadership level of the party?
That is why they are called reforms. It's not everybody who will be happy about reforms. So surely some people will not be happy about reforms. There are people who may wish that the status quo will stay. But like he said, His Excellency the President has given his blessings. Some leaders of the party have equally given the blessings.
So, Kofi, has the former president officially written to the party about these suggestions?
Those views have been collected at the national level and they are being forwarded to the regions for discussion.
You heard a spokesperson for former President Rawlings, Kofi Adams, talking to Bubukle Nogo.
The CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Telecommunications, Kweku Sechiado, has admitted occasional poor service delivery by network operators. He was quick to add that such operational lapses are not deliberate, as they are of no gain to the operators. Mr. Sechiado was speaking on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, which discussed ICT and national development and compensation for such interruptions. Mr. Sechiado said the regulators and the National Communications Authority have monitoring and evaluation measures in place, and operators are sanctioned appropriately when the need arises.
No doubt there are some days that it's extremely difficult and subscribers cannot get access to the networks. There are days when you're sending your text, you're making a call, and it's not going through. That does happen, and it shouldn't happen. However, you must recognize, having said that, that it's not the norm. When you have situations like that, you have to ask yourself, for the network operator, what's the benefit to the network operator that its subscribers cannot access the network? There's absolutely no gain to the network operator. There's got to be a problem why so many thousands of its subscribers cannot access the network. The network is losing potential revenue. The network's reputation is at stake. There's got to be a decent reason why that happens. The NCO, which is the regulator, has performance indicators for network operators. Very high, stringent, rigorous monitoring. high stringent targets and vigorous monitoring. And I wish that were the case in other sectors or in other industries as well. So when network operators breach their targets, the regulator holds them to account to explain the reasons why that has happened. And if they don't have a good enough reason, they may be warned, for example, in the matter of inadequate investment in a given area, and they may be encouraged to make sure that they invest in that area to ensure that the services improve. If that fails, then the regulator is compelled to impose penalties on the network operator, which it then pays to the regulator. And of course, it's not your own handset, actually, maybe the cause.
The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omanibuama, agrees that there is the need to compensate consumers who endure poor services, but indicated that the operators at times face genuine challenges. He said consumers who experience frequent and prolonged interruptions can call 030-7011-419. The number again, 030-7011-419, to lodge complaints. They can also send an email to complaints@nca.gov.gh. On the two high-level telecom meetings held in Accra recently, Dr. Omanibuama said it's provided Africa a platform to take some 5 initiatives to be presented at next year's World Telecommunication Development Conference.
Out of this discussion, there have been 5 major initiatives that Africa is putting on the table. One of them has to do with migrating from analog television broadcasting and actually even analog radio broadcasting to digital television and radio broadcasting. If it comes to Ghana, that is new. That is something that we are going to do. And we have a committee that is working on it. Without having these platforms and developing common positions, such as Africa agreeing on these 5 initiatives. One has to do with cyber security, not just that, how it impacts on deepening the confidence of the African in the use of ICT and telecommunication.
For his part, the Deputy Secretary General of the International Telecom Union, Haolin Zhao, said telecommunications is the fastest growing sector in Africa, but says the sector can perform better if it has access to reliable energy.
To have good input, we need to be able to understand what the whole world is thinking about today, about our future, and what is the challenges in front of our local members. And that we are asked us to, you know, to really encourage our members to come together to look at their future. And the Honourable Minister just said, if we are not there, nobody will talk about us. And then we have put their priorities there. For example, just one example. You know, we already had some regional preparation meetings. Someone already talked about their priorities.
Deputy Secretary General of ITU, Haolin Zhao, speaking on Talking Point.
The Minister of Energy, Professor Jinan Opoku-Hajiman, has observed that the over-reliance on the oil industry and other primary products cannot eradicate poverty and diseases in the country. She noted that knowledge, which is both a tool and commodity, is now the key driver of economic growth, and therefore charged the universities, which are centers of brain power, to drive the process of transforming the economy to a knowledge-based one. Professor Opoku-Hajiman, who made the observation in a speech read on her behalf at the 43rd Congregation of the University of Cape Coast, recommended research and innovation as the means through which the task can be accomplished. She said the review of the current policy of imposing book and research allowances on individuals is meant to introduce efficiency and effectiveness in the disbursement and utilization of the fund. The Vice Chancellor of the University, Professor Domwin Kupoli, said one of the core business of the institution is research, which has necessitated the creation of a research agenda and fund to facilitate quality research.
The Sunyuan Polytechnic has embarked on a vigorous development program as part of its efforts to be elevated to a technical university by 2016. Director of the Polytechnic, Professor Katie Janfojo, who announced this, the move is aimed at improving the competence of staff and enable them to surmount the challenges ahead, as well as respond to government directives for staff development. Professor Jan Fodjo was speaking at the Fifth Congregation of the Sunyuan Polytechnic in Sunyuan. Emmanuel Mensah Bludo was at the ceremony and says the event was also used to honor Professor Edward Bedu of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, as well as some other personalities, for their contribution to the development of Sunyuan Polytechnic.
6,465 people graduated with degrees, higher national diplomas and certificates. Professor Jan Fodjo told the congregation that at the moment, his polytechnic has 150 masters and 7 doctoral degrees holders, while 19 staff are pursuing doctoral programs in various universities across the world, adding that they will return by the close of the year to beef up the workforce of the polytechnic. The rector stated that from this academic year, the polytechnic will mount 2 new tertiary programs, which are higher national diploma in purchasing and supply, as well as computer science and mathematics. The Deputy Bunahaf Regional Minister, Justice Samuel Ejie, appealed to the citizen to use their professional expertise effectively in partnership with the government towards sustainable development of the nation. The chairman of the Sunyani Polytechnic Council, Dr. Isis Kwesi Asuma, observed that the key challenge facing the country's polytechnic is how to get students to enroll in science and technical courses. He attributed the problem to the small number of science students coming out of senior high schools in the country. Dr. Asuma therefore called for the reversal of the situation through the training of more science teachers. From Sunyani, this has been Emmanuel Mensah Bludo reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Vice President challenges leaders in public service to avoid partisanship and deliver selfless leadership. Chamber of Telecom Operators admits occasional poor service delivery, which it says are not deliberate. New policy on books and research allowance meant to eject efficiency and accountability in the disbursement of fund. 2 ministers, public organizations and individuals to appear before Commission on Judgment Debts today. Escalating violence in Egypt claims 50 lives with scores injured. And U.S. commends Syria for acceding to deal on chemical weapon destruction, which has begun.
The Commission on Inquiry into Judgment Debt Payments and Other Related Matters will hold public sittings today. Representatives of the Attorney General and Solicitor General, Ministry of Energy, Ministry of Finance, J.K. Imbia of Tedium Enterprise Tema, and State Enterprise Commission are to appear before the Commission to assist in its work. They are also informed that they are at liberty to appear with their lawyers. Members of the public who wish to testify or volunteer information are first to report at the Commission's office to give their statements. The Commission will then schedule a date for them to give evidence. All who intend to testify or volunteer information to the Commission but are unable to be present in person are requested to submit memoranda to the Commission.
Lineborg Foundation, a health organization in the UK, has donated more than 300 pulse oximeters worth $80,000 to the Ghana Association of Neck Anesthetists Ghana. Oximeters are sensitive devices used in hospitals' theatres to check the pulse of patients during anesthesia and also to detect the amount of oxygen in the blood of patients during surgeries. A consultant anesthetic and representative of Lifebox in Ghana, Dr. Melvin Stuart-Taylor, made the presentation at the 10th biannual national conference of the association in Kofodia. We bring you more.
Dr. Malvena said the donation stems from the fact that most theaters in Ghana, especially in the rural areas, have no oximeters. He said oximeters in all health centers are important as it greatly facilitates the anesthetic process. Head of pediatrics at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, Dr. Nima Kumbuaten, urged hospital management to create a conducive environment to facilitate the efficient performance of the anesthetist. He said, safety in surgery requires reliable execution of multiple steps in care, not just by the surgeon, but by the team of healthcare professionals working together for the benefit of the patient. Dr. Boateng noted that since in every human institution, mistakes are bound to occur, management must endeavor to correct systems at their facilities to become standards for all operations. President of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Kwabena Opokwedu, said about 30% of all surgeries done in the Ghana Health Service facilities are by nurse anesthetists, and that emphasizes their importance. He said there is a need for all health personnel in the various sectors to work as a team to achieve the ultimate goal of providing quality service to the people.
A news desk report.
Nurses at the Children's Oncology Ward of the Kolibu Teaching Hospital have commended Vodafone Foundation for refurbishing of the ward. The state-of-the-art facility was refurbished about 2 months ago to ease the pressure on hospital staff as well as parents who bring in their children weekly for chemotherapy. Speaking to the media in Accra, a nurse at the ward, Nana Pukwafrimpong, noted that prior to the renovation works, mosquito nets for the windows were in a poor state, and the children's medical condition were often complicated by malaria infection. A matron at the ward, Patricia, noticed the new facility has ensured that children receive medical attention in a clean and child-friendly environment. She urged other corporate institutions to assist government in meeting the health needs of Ghanaians.
Two staff of the Daily Guard newspaper were involved in a road crash leading to the death of 38-year-old Seth Aban, while the driver sustained serious injuries. The vehicle on which they were travelling on the Accra-Winneba Road collided head-on with an Abidjan-bound bus at Goma-Potsen. Assistant Superintendent of Police John Paul of the Winneba District Motor Traffic and Transport Unit told the GNA that the body of the deceased has been deposited at the Winneba Government Hospital mortuary for autopsy, while the driver is on admission.
And on to the foreign front. At least 50 people have been killed and scores hurt in Egypt in clashes between police and supporters of the post-Islamist president Mohamed Morsi. More than 200 members of the Muslim Brotherhood were arrested in Cairo, where most of the deaths were reported. Supporters of Mr. Morsi marched in several cities as the military-backed government marked the 40th anniversary of the 1973 Arab-Israeli War. Morsi supporters say he was deposed in a military coup in July. Hundreds of people had gathered in Cairo's Tahrir Square to celebrate the anniversary. Jets, helicopters flew overhead in formation as part of a grand display of military hardware by the government. The crowd cheered the fly past with a number of people carrying portraits of Defense Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Some want him to stand as Egypt's next president. Security forces used tear gas and fired into the air to stop them.
Libya's prime minister has called on Washington to explain a special forces raid on its territory on Saturday. Ali Zeidan's office said he has asked for clarification and stressed that Libya is keen on prosecuting any Libyan citizen who aided the raid. The raid captured Al-Qaeda leader Anas al-Libi, who the U.S. says is currently lawfully detained outside of Libya. The other raid was in southern Somalia but failed to capture its target. The commando raid there was believed to have focused on the leader of the Al-Shabaab militant group, which is believed to have carried out last month's attack on the Westgate shopping center in the Kenyan capital Nairobi, leaving at least 67 people dead.
At least 20 people, including 15 suspected Boko Haram militants, died yesterday in a fresh attack in Nigeria's northeast Borno state. The attack took place at Damboa, 87 kilometers from Maiduguri. The terrorist, whose strength is unknown, sneaked into the town and attacked worshippers who have come to say their morning prayers in a mosque and killed 5 of them. The military said the insurgents burnt down the palace of the local chief and some shops around the area. Some army troops intercepted the insurgents and engaged them in a shootout, which led to the death of 15 of the attackers, while others fled.
UN Secretary of State John Kerry has commended Syrian President Bashar al-Assad for complying with the chemical weapons deal. He was speaking after international monitors said the destruction of Syria's stockpile had begun. The mission was established under a UN resolution, which was passed after a deal between Russia and the US. The resolution followed international outrage at the chemical weapons attack near Damascus in August. The destruction of Syria's chemical arsenal is being overseen by a team from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
Leaders of Indonesia, Japan and China will have a chance to congratulate Russian President Vladimir Putin on his 61st birthday, during bilateral meetings on the resort island of Bali today. President Putin, who is to take part in the October 7 to 8 Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, will meet with Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, and Chinese President Xi Jinping on the first day of the event.
A 55-year-old resident of Siberia's Republic of Yakutia stabbed a bear to death with a knife when the animal attacked him. The man was attacked by a male bear when he was feeding his horses in a remote enclosure about 31 miles from his home village. Police said the man stayed calm and resisted the attack as he stabbed the animal several times to kill it. The man sustained numerous wounds on his head and face and was taken to hospital. Meanwhile, doctors say his condition is not life-threatening. Football. The week 5 matches of the Globe Premier League were honored yesterday at the various centres. Defending champions Asante Kotoko continued their winning ways after beating Inter Allies by a lone goal at the Tama Stadium. Yahya Mohamed's header from a corner kick in the 87th minute gave the Porcupine Warriors the fifth successive win of the season. Kotoko are top of the league table with 15 points. Rivals Hearts of Oak are behind with 12 points. The result also leaves debutant Inter Allies at the bottom of the table after losing all 5 matches. Elsewhere, at the Babayara Stadium in Kumasi, Sule Mohammed's hat-trick ensured King Faisal had a hard 4-2 win over 3-2 win over Wild Stars. After going 4 games without a win, Takwa-based Medeama SC finally tasted victory at the Accra Sports Stadium, defeating Liberty Professionals by 2-1. Results of other matches played are Asakes 1, Edubia CFC 1, Brekum Chelsea 1, Adriana Stars 1, Heart of Lions 1, Ebusian Dwarfs 0, Ashanti Gold 2, Amidals Professionals 1. And the match on Saturday between Accra Hearts of Oak ended in a 1-0 in favor of Accra Hearts of Oak.
And I'll to end the news, the main points again. Vice President Kwesi Mesa-Arthur has challenged people in authority to avoid partisanship to enable them to effectively discharge their responsibilities. He was speaking at the induction of Right Reverend Thomas Brown Forson as a Tema Diocesan Bishop of the Methodist Church Ghana. And the Attorney General's Department, the Ministry of Finance, J.K. Mbia of Tedium Enterprise Tema, and State Enterprise Audit Commission will today appear before the Judgment Debt Commission to assist it in its work. The news was presented by Naja Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.